We're back now on The Takeaway. Actor Riz Ahmed has been to a galaxy far, far away.
What's your call sign, pilot?
We have to go.
It's Rogue? Rogue One.
He embodied a heavy metal drummer, losing his hearing.
You play music, right?
No.
No?
No, not anymore. Not until I get the implant.
In real life, he's even gained a following by putting out music as Riz MC.
Raise the white flag, try squish the beef. Your same white flag is trying to kill me. We can't separate, I'm part of you, babe. My protein made your DNA. Allow our kids to raise on your hate. Don't be shocked when they retaliate. My whole team just rats in your race.
In his latest movie, Encounter, which was released in theaters last week, Ahmed plays a Marine veteran, Malik Khan, who takes his sons on the run in an attempt to protect them from what he warns is an impending alien invasion. And while the performance breaks new ground for the dynamic actor, Ahmed is not hoping that audiences will feel he disappears into the role. In fact, he's thought a lot about the metaphorical masks actors don, and he says he doesn't want to hide the real Riz anymore.
I think practically speaking, for me, just to be very specific about process, I think it means not overly relying on research, not looking too much outside of yourself for the key to unlocking a character. And that's always going to be really important to ground any portrayal in authenticity. And particularly for a character like Malik Khan, who's, you know, a US Special Forces veteran, that's not an experience that I have. So speaking to veterans, speaking to active servicemen, understanding their experience, their stories, that's absolutely essential, but only insofar as it's a gateway to finding the overlaps with your own experience and your own feelings about the world. I think before I was more interested in kind of putting my own experience away and locking it up and purely looking outside to find characters. And now I'm much more interested in where those overlaps are between you and this character on the page that you assume you have nothing in common with to begin with.
So why did you want this character? Why was Malik someone worth fighting for? I know that you convinced the director, Michael Pierce, to cast you in this role.
Yeah, I really stalked Michael, honestly. I can sometimes become a bit obsessive in this way. I remember when I was auditioning for Star Wars, the director made the mistake of giving me his email address, and I sent him about 16 auditions over 2 days. So it was a similar kind of vibe. Once I get this idea in my head, I started calling him, texting him, getting mutual friends to call him, took him out to lunch. And really what appealed to me was that, I guess I'm just really interested in films that kind of fit between genres, that occupied lots of different kind of tones at once. So on the one hand, this is a film that has the thrills and spills and the imagination of sci-fi and genre. And on the other hand, it's a very grounded relationship drama, family drama, father-son story with a lot of heart. And it's not that common for people to even attempt to bridge those two tones. So that's what was exciting from a kind of just movie point of view, from a character point of view. I just found the character really scary. I had never played someone like this. I don't immediately imagine myself into the archetype of returning American servicemen, rightly or wrongly. Probably audiences don't. And so I thought that was interesting to challenge myself and challenge audiences in that way. And finally, and I guess the most scary thing was I'd never played a dad before. Hmm. And I was quite paranoid about, or just anxious, I should say, about whether these kids would buy me as a father. And then I realized, well, that's what the character's thinking. He hasn't seen these kids for a while either. He's wondering whether he'd be convincing in that role. So when I found that overlap, as I was saying, I thought, okay, there's something here to work with.
As you were saying that, that you are challenging audiences in part by the very notion of what we imagine a returning American serviceman is, especially after more than 20 years in Afghanistan, I think this is, it actually reframes what I was going to ask you about the roles you take that are clearly about identity and those like Encounter or Sound of Metal, where it seems that race or identity are not centralized. Because now you're making me think that actually it is still at the center of what you are, or at least importantly orthogonal to what it is you're doing in this film.
You know, it's interesting because I don't think of race as being central to this film. And I actually don't think of race as being central to any of my work. What I do think is central to all work is identity. I think that's true of acting. I think that's true of all art, all stories, really. I think they're all challenging us to reimagine our identity. That's the fundamental mechanism of storytelling. It takes the listener or the viewer and puts them into someone else's experience through this mysterious process of alchemy. And before you know it, you become someone else. And that is a challenge to our idea of self that we cling to, you know, this idea that you and the other are separate. It doesn't really stand up when you watch a good story or listen to a good story. You suddenly become someone else. So I think challenging our notions of who we are, who the other is, realizing that self and other are actually the same, I think that lies at the bedrock of all storytelling. And so identity is at the heart of all storytelling, in my view.
Yeah, that's that key insight about stories being windows and mirrors, right? That we can see ourselves, but then it's also a window into someone else's experience, maybe one that isn't what's looking back at us in the mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this film really does hold up a mirror to our society. Some people have described it as sci-fi. I describe it more as now-fi. It is about an uncertain world, a divided society, a world where we have a fear of infection, a fear of the other. And I think that it's actually quite interesting because, you know, we turned up on set to film this movie. And I have to say that the film set or the world behind the camera felt more like sci-fi than the story we were telling. You know, we filmed this during peak COVID and everyone on the team was in full biohazard suits. The sky was ablaze with California forest fires. And, you know, it was election season with civil unrest kind of brewing. So it felt pretty apocalyptic. So I think that this film certainly does hold up a mirror. It feels quite urgent to me. And yet it's, you know, wrapped up in just this most kind of delightfully charming family kind of story with these two incredible kids that just, yeah, I haven't seen anyone not melt, you know, when they've watched these kids on screen.
As of course, the dystopic future will nonetheless have really cute kids in it, right? This is like part of the realities, right? Of the smallness of our humanity, even in the enormity of our universal experiences. As you're talking about identity, there's this other piece, the pond, right? That you started in British film and television, and then shifted to the U.S. industry. I'm wondering how you've experienced that shift.
It's interesting because I don't know if I've shifted or if the industry itself has shifted, and it's just more of a globalized industry. You know, particularly now with streamers, and if you think of something like Squid Game or you know, Money Heist and these kind of global shows, or Ertugrul, you know, the Turkish kind of soap opera. These are global shows. People are used to, you know, kind of crossing borders in that way to watch films and watch TV. So I think the shift from the US to UK is quite a small one. I think they're quite symbiotic as industries. In terms of like coming and shooting in America, being employed more by kind of American companies, I think that's also just an inevitability when it comes to the scale or of the American industry. In the UK, it can be a little bit smaller, so there's just not as much work.
There's another identity piece. This other identity, Riz MC, where you are not an actor in that role, but rather a maker of music. Talk to me about what it means, or the parts of yourself that you're able to express as an MC that are different than your role as actor.
It's interesting because, yeah, like I said, I used to think of acting as a place where I become other people and music as a place where I really express myself. And I think over the last, you know, many years, that boundary doesn't really exist anymore. So if you look at a project like Mogul Mowgli, it's very much about me just trying to bring all of myself to the table, my own personal experience. It's a film that's in English and in Urdu. You know, it's a film that, yeah, I guess is some kind of Sufi horror comedy musical. you know, it's kind of all the different genres and styles, that the hybridity of my own identity is kind of expressed fully in that film as well. So I'm kind of thinking more and more that there isn't really a separation. Yeah, they're different forms, but increasingly I hope that I can just bring all of myself to all of my work. And that is definitely a shift from years gone by, you know, where I had received or understood this message implicitly from society or from the industry that you shouldn't bring all of yourself to the table. You don't quite fit. People aren't really interested in stories like yours. Be someone else. You know, the one thing we want you to be is someone else. And so that's kind of changed for me.
I'm wondering if that's connected to this work that your production company did in relationship with the researchers at USC, that's really showing kind of how dire the situation is for Muslim characters in film and television. Is that part of the just be someone else? And do you have sort of a message or a set of goals for Hollywood relative to telling Muslim stories?
Yeah, so this is an initiative that I launched with an amazing organization called the Pillars Fund, and also University of Southern California and Dr. Stacey Smith. Her team there do a lot of research into just what the stats are, you know, and they really confirm what many of us have kind of known anecdotally, which is that Muslim characters are either invisible or they're villainized. You know, the report is actually called Missing or Maligned. And the stats are quite dire, you know. I think it's like 1.6% of all speaking characters in the top 200 films in English-speaking countries in the last few years are Muslim characters. 3/4 of the time when you have Muslim characters on screen, they're victims of or perpetrators of violence. And this has a real-world impact, you know. I think the effect of this is measured in enabling hate crime, enabling discriminative legislation, and enabling foreign invasions and misadventures, you know, and war crimes. So I think that this is really a life and death issue. I feel that this isn't just my problem or Muslims' problem, this is everyone's problem. You know, if we create a culture that demonizes people, that there will be dire consequences. And we're seeing the dire consequences of these really simplistic kind of demonizing stories all around the world right now, you know. So I don't know, I guess my message is for Hollywood is to support this initiative. They already are. We've had great pickup, but to really kind of take stock and think about how we can open up our industry and our culture to different kinds of stories.
And I'll just ask this last. Let's say that in 10 years, you and I are able to sit down and have another conversation. What do you hope we'll be talking about in a decade?
I hope we won't have to talk about anything other than the work. Stuff that still excites me, ideally. You know, I feel very lucky that I'm able to do work that excites me. Film, TV, music, throwing them all together. But I guess my point is that, you know, ideally we won't have to talk about so many of the issues surrounding the work or the obstacles to the work or the obstacles to people like me being able to make work that they're proud of, but just like... just the work, you know. It'd be great to focus more on that rather than the issues that get in the way of that.
Riz Ahmed is an actor, and his latest film, Encounter, is out now. Thanks so much for stopping by The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.